Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like the minds of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, even how to get started on your own. Today's stories, small and large companies tinker with closing on Black Friday, which businesses retirees are exploring, and the people at the office who do well at delivering bad news, like firings. Well, Black Friday's not far off, and businesses are gearing up for the biggest sales day on the retail calendar for many. But this year, REI will not be joining them. The outdoor sporting goods store has decided to close on Black Friday for the first time in company history and is starting the social media campaign #OptOutside to push customers out of the stores and into the outdoors. Correspondent Dominic Savino recently spoke with USA Today business reporter Hadley Malcolm about REI, and she said the company is taking a stand that's based on its brand message.
What it's all about for them in talking to their CEO, he understands there is a business implication, there is a financial implication to closing, but what's more important to them is the message they're sending to their employees and their customers, and taking a stand in encouraging people to spend time outdoors because they are an outdoor brand. So it kind of works into their whole, you know, company ethos that they would close on that day.
I know we've seen some companies, you know, forego selling on Thanksgiving or making their hours really brief. So is this something that might start to catch on?
You know, to walk away from Black Friday is a huge decision. And, you know, REI certainly isn't Target or Walmart, but REI is able to maybe get away with it. It's something that their customers clearly care about. It's gotten a huge reaction on social media. People are really applauding REI for choosing to do this.
The move that REI made was a social media movement, you know, the #OptOutside. Does this kind of speak to what retailers, whether they're going to be open or closed Thanksgiving weekend, what they want to do towards the holidays?
Clearly, REI made a huge statement with this and got people talking about them all over social media. With the rise in online shopping and the amount of time people are spending with their phones, social media strategies definitely play into retailers', you know, thought process throughout the holidays and the way that they are trying to reach consumers.
We're speaking with Hadley Malcolm, business reporter at USA Today. Her recent piece is called REI Closing on Black Friday for First Time to Push #OptOutside. Is there any prediction, at least, you know, going forward, how this is going to affect REI's total sales output for the holidays?
Clearly, they have gained a lot in, you know, brand loyalty and trust with this announcement and how much it's resonated with people. So, and, you know, when I spoke with their CEO for the story, he said, honestly, you know, he doesn't know how it's all going to shake out, you know, especially financially. You know, it's hard for him, for anyone to, you know, really guess how much of a hit it's going to be on the business. But they felt like making this sort of pledge toward spending time outdoors outweighed staying open.
Small business correspondent Dominic Savino with USA Today's Hadley Malcolm. By the way, that #OptOutside, it approached 800,000 tweets. Most people work with one of these types, the office bad guy, right? Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger says most workers and managers want to be seen as good guys at the office, spreading warmth and cheer. Yet not everyone needs to be liked. Some thrive on, or at least find ways to handle, being the bearer of bad news. Sue, what are these folks made of?
They have different rationales to cope. Some really feel the pain. I mean, many people are really thrust into laying people off or delivering bad performance reviews or policing alcohol consumption at the office party, and they really don't like the role. They suffer through it. They feel empathy for others. The ones who got through it really well were those who see it just as part of their job, working toward a higher goal. For example, you know, somebody who doesn't want friends at the office because it's his job to get people to update their skills, to lay people off. And maybe they find that having friends at the office gets in the way of objective decision-making. And others, actually, athletes in particular, I think, draw energy from booze and, you know, negative reviews. Sometimes they say, I'll show you, and they turn around and make their performance better. This happens at the office as well. So it's really a interesting the way people find their own personal way to cope.
Wow. All right. You said something that struck me early on about the person who might have to police alcohol consumption at a party. Are you kidding me?
This is one example given me by a human resources consultant who says, you know, somebody's got to do that. If you're going to have an office party with alcohol, it usually falls to the HR manager. It's just one of those things. Not at all companies, of course, but it does happen at some companies. And you know, there's also the issue of, you know, being creative. Sometimes you have to depart from the crowd. And I think, you know, Steve Jobs at Apple was probably a good example of someone who really didn't care what other people thought. And, you know, probably was pretty harsh with people for a purpose of innovating and pursuing what he saw as a vision. I think this is a role that many people in the workplace take. They don't mind being seen as a maverick if they can be creative and innovative.
Boy, I see the person policing alcohol consumption in my mind just carrying around like a white clipboard or a chart or something. They're going, Schellenberger, I think that's your that's the second Pinot Noir. Slow that down. Right? Oh, my goodness.
Put your car keys in the bowl right here.
Right.
You're not leaving until I take a breathalyzer, right? It's not a good, not a pretty picture.
You have to somewhat, I guess, have a thick skin.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think some people just do. I mean, you know, you have the enforcer type who, you know, takes on those tests that frustrate other people. It just sees it as part of his job. I mean, I interviewed one guy who's headed many companies that were in the midst of turnaround or maybe they're failing and they have to be liquidated. And he just went in and he said, I'm just going to tell the truth. And he had a very thick skin, but he viewed his role as telling the truth, being honest.
Okay.
And he said, people won't like me, but at least they'll know I have integrity. And he got by that way and really took satisfaction in, you know, stopping the losses and turning operations around.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger. Her piece is called How Office Bad Guys Handle the Role. I did see that there was somebody quoted in your story who said this actually can be lonely work.
Well, it really is. One woman I interviewed, an employment attorney who had been required to lay people off and deliver bad news, even enforce rules she didn't like, she said it's very lonely. She said she realized that she really couldn't be friends with anyone, even at her own level, only with those above her on the org chart, because she might be called on to lay that person off the next day. She really disliked that role and moved on to something else rather quickly. Other people don't mind that. You know, they get the richness in life for them is outside the office, the exercise, they have friends, and they don't look for social life at the office.
Thanks, Sue. It's Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger. Coming up next, the baby boomers who can't sit still.
Do you want to learn how to mask your identity to browse inappropriate websites and stream media while at the office?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's web security solutions keep online activity clean and ensure internet bandwidth performance. Reclaim your network, like 150,000 other businesses already have. To learn more about preventing web-based threats, visit barracuda.com/web.
For the 76 million Americans in the baby boomer generation, retirement age is quickly approaching. But to many of them, their 65th birthday will not mark the end of their working careers. Rising retirement costs and the elimination of pensions have left some boomers unable to afford leaving their jobs. For others, though, the decision to continue working is coupled with a newfound interest in entrepreneurship. A study by the Kaufman Index for Entrepreneurial Activity found that 23% of new entrepreneurs were ages 55 to 64. Industry analysts say boomers are starting their own businesses to follow a passion and have embraced the ability to work in their own terms. Others have chosen to pursue low-cost franchise options, including residential cleaning services, tax preparation, and various services for children or seniors. A reminder, by the way, you can get more small business reports on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com. And we encourage you to leave feedback, too, on whatever podcast platform you use, like iTunes or SoundCloud. Reviews can help me determine what works and what does not. Also, if you'd like to share thoughts or ideas about your small business, shoot me an email, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Again, my email address, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.
Thank you.